Thank you very much. Very blessed to be with you this morning, and I'll just have the joy of getting into God's Word with you and looking at some of these wonderful scriptures from God's Word. I was telling Tom in the back, it's very difficult to try to duplicate what we did at the men's weekend, because it was the Spirit of God and the power of God's Word working in a great way to take care of the men that were there at that particular moment in time. So, and we're going to try to get into a little bit of it this morning and see what the Father has to say, okay? And we, one of the things that I covered during the men's weekend was Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26, and I'd like for you to go there this morning. And I'd like to thank Tom and the board of directors for allowing me to be here this morning and to do this and to share this with you. This is part three of my hour and a half teaching that I got cut short on. But in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26, we read, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." God's word says that in his fear, in the fear of the Lord, is strong confidence. And God desires for his children to have a place of refuge as well. And one of the things that I saw in working for in preparation for the men's weekend was how these men lived with tremendous confidence in God. Daniel was one of the men that was talked about very extensively during my teaching at the men's weekend. Daniel chapter 6, we covered the aspect of Daniel being thrown into the lion's den, and just Daniel's reliance on God, his utmost confidence and trust in his Heavenly Father, that even though the king had been coerced into this plot that they set out to trap Daniel and to intimidate him off of God's word, that Daniel refused to bow. He stayed firm on God's word. His confidence was in God. And when they threw him into the lion's den, Daniel never backed down on God's word. And if you go back and read those chapters of the book of Daniel from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 6, you can see that Daniel lived under tremendous pressure, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his companions in trouble. But the one thing that they had was a common bond, and that was the strength that they had in God's word. That was the confidence that they had in God's word. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as you're aware, were thrown into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Their confession was that our God will deliver us. You may throw us in, but we will be delivered, because of the confidence that they had in God, because of the confidence they had in God's word. Daniel lived under three different reigns of three different kings. And under these three different kings, there was constant pressure, there was constant threat, there was constant intimidation to endeavor to get him off of God's word. But as you read those records, you'll also see that these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what was at the center of their lives, at the center, the bedrock of the commitment of their hearts, was the integrity of God's word. That's what they stood on. The first ordeal, when they first started out, they refused to eat the king's meat, you know, because they didn't want to defile themselves. They wanted to maintain this reverence for God that they had established before they were led into captivity. We're not going to go there this morning, but it says that it's strong confidence in Proverbs 14:26. And we're going to look at some records this morning from Hebrews and other places where we see men of God. We see women of God that are people like yourself and myself, of lack compassion, you know, that had infirmities and things of a human nature, because they were human. But how these people relentlessly stood on God's word. And it's a tremendous example and inspiration for you and me as well, that God would have them recorded in his word. for our exhortation, for our comfort, for our strength. And in Psalm 46, I'd like for you to turn there, please. In Psalm 46, in verse 1. You guys are probably all there, and I'm still turning. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. In verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is what? Our refuge. Proverbs says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence and a place of refuge for his children. These men such as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and others that we will consider this morning, we will see how they developed this great confidence. This place of refuge was in God. God is our refuge and a very present help. He's our strength and a very present help in time of trouble. No matter what your trouble may be, no matter what my trouble might be, God is still our place of refuge. And it's in God's word where we find this tremendous refuge. It's in God's word that our confidence can be developed to walk, to trust God, to remain under God's mighty hand as these men did. Because there was nothing really extraordinary about them, other than that they disciplined themselves to remain in hearing subjection to what God's word had said. Even though the threats of the king were very present, still God was a very present help in time of trouble. He was their refuge. And it's God's desire for us as well that we have this place of refuge, that we have a very present help in time of need, and that's God Almighty. His mighty hand is all that we need in time of trouble. It's all that we need in our earthly infirmities, the compassions like these men that they had to dealt with. You know, God, the God of Jacob, verse 7, is our refuge. I'd like for you to go to Hebrews chapter 2. Also, one of the things that we covered during the men's weekend was these records in Hebrews. Even though I didn't go into them very extensively this morning, we're going to look at an aspect of what we did during that weekend. In Hebrews chapter 2, in chapter 11, I'm sorry, in verse 2 it says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." In reading this record in Hebrews, you're very much aware that this record deals with the report that God gave of these men, that by believing, they had a great report from God Almighty. And when God says he gives somebody a good report, it's what? It's a good report, isn't it? And their report was good because of the one thing that they did, and that is that they believed God's word. And it says, "For by it," verse 2, "the elders obtained a good report." What elders are they talking about? In verse 4, it speaks of Abel, that by believing obtained a good report. In verse 5, it speaks of Enoch. It talks about Noah in verse 7. In verse 8, it speaks of Abraham. In verse 11, it speaks of Sarah. Again, in verse 11, it speaks of Abraham. In verse 8, it speaks of Abraham. In verse 11, it speaks of Sarah. In verse 17, it again speaks of Abraham. In verse 20, it speaks of Isaac. Verse 21, Jacob. 22, Joseph. Verse 23, it speaks about Moses' parents. Then in verse 24, it talks about Moses himself, who refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. If you go back and read all of these records, it's really a wonderful blessing to see that these men, And also, you can go back in the Old Testament and read the records, how they obtained this good report, and why God so notably records them in His Word, that it was by believing, that it was by believing, that their confidence was in God and in God's Word. In verse 29, it speaks of they being the children of Israel who passed through the Red Sea. Verse 30, it speaks of the walls of Jericho that came down. And then in verse 31, it talks of the harlot Rahab, who really wasn't a harlot. She was an innkeeper, who wasn't even of the children of Israel's bloodline, but she believed to do what they asked her to do, which was to hide them during the persecution of while the spies were pursuing them. In verse 32, it says, "The time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets." There's not enough time to tell about all these guys who, through believing, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, quenched the violence of fire. You know, these were men and women who were just like me and you. But the one thing that they did was that they believed God's word. Their strong confidence was in God Almighty and in what He had given them, which was His word, that He would deliver in time of trouble, that He would be their very present help in time of need. You and I have the same promises. God, it would be terrible if God only gave us these tremendous examples of these men and then said, "Well, you know, you guys in the church, you know, it's not going to work for you." But that's not what He did. The examples are to exhort us. They're examples so that we can see from God's word, as the Old Testament so wonderfully records. You can go back and read those records about Daniel, about David, about Samuel, about the prophets who, through believing, you know, where did they get this believing? You know, by hearing what God's word said. By hearing what God's word said. In spite of what the king said. In spite of what the burning fiery furnace really looked like. You think maybe Daniel, you know, at night laid in his bed thinking about, man, those lions are probably really hungry. You know, perhaps. But also, even more than that, what he stayed himself on was what God had said. What God had said. And that's how you and I can do it as well. We receive the promises of God's word by reading God's word, by hearing God's word, and then subjectively putting ourselves under what God's word has said. In spite of the circumstances, in spite of the obstacles that may be on the right hand or the left hand, what has God said? And that's where we remain. That's how they obtained a good report. Their confidence was developed by hearing what God had said. In Hebrews 11:32. We read, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak." I just said that, didn't I? I'm saying it again. "And of Samson and of Jephthah, David also and Samuel and the prophets, who through believing subdued kingdoms." Imagine that. Who through believing subdued whole kingdoms. They did that. "Wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions." Did Daniel stop? Yes, he did. Yeah, by believing God's word. "Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword." Out of weakness. These men looked very weak. They looked very frail. You know, in comparison to a burning fiery furnace, how would you look? You know, you would look weak, wouldn't you? You would look very scared. How would you look if you knew 5 minutes from now you would be going into the lions? Then you probably would be shaking a little bit, wouldn't you? But it says, out of weakness, these men were made strong. How is it that out of weakness we're made strong? If God is our strength, then no matter what weakness we may have, He is still our very present help in time of need. He is still, and His word is still, our place of refuge. Is it not? Is it not? They chose to rely on God. They chose to put themselves under God's word. You're going into the fire. You're going into the lion's den. Where do I stand? I can look at the circumstances. I can look at the obstacles that I'm confronted with. Or I can look at what God's holy word is saying to me. And that is, he's a very present help in time of need. That he is my refuge in time of trouble. And it says that out of weakness they were made strong. Waxed violent. No, not violent. Violent in flight and turned to fight the armies of the aliens. How did these guys do that? Well, if you read those records, you'll see how they did that. You'll see how they did it. It's by remaining in submission to what God's word has said. And that's the only way. Otherwise, we'll be consumed in the circumstances. We'll be consumed in our own weakness. You know, and the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. In him only is strong confidence. It's not in me. It's not in you. It's not in the circumstances. It's not in anything else that the world may say that I can have confidence in. But it's in the fear of the Lord. It's in God. It's in God's word. It's in God's might. It's in God's strength. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were sown asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Verse 38, they wandered in dens and in mountains, and they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report, through what? Through believing. Every single one of them, all these people that we read about very briefly, Abel, Enoch, Jacob, Isaac, Moses, all obtained a good report through believing. How did they get that believing? By hearing what the next door neighbor is talking about, you know, by watching Saturday Night Live, you know, by considering everything else that the world offers us. No, through believing they obtained a good report by hearing one thing and one thing only, and that's God's word. That's how we develop confidence in God. You know, how could you possibly trust God, if his word is not living and real to me? You know what I'm saying? If I never really spend any time reading God's word, thinking about God's word, realizing that God's word is up here and I'm down here, you know, and that he'll make good on his promises. Back over in verse 6, it says, but without faith, without believing, it's impossible to please God. But we just saw that these men had a good report. How did they get that good report? By believing God, didn't they? So they moved from the impossible to the possible by doing one thing, and that's believing what God's word had said. By believing what God's word had said. If they got a good report, then they had to have realized that God and his word is up here. And I'm down here, and I'm willing to accept what God has said to be true. Here it says, without believing, it's impossible to please God. Would you like to move from the impossible to the possible? I would, wouldn't you? I would like to subdue kingdoms. I would like to quench the violence of fire. You know, I'd like to have my dead raised again if one of mine should die. Wouldn't you? Sure. Across the Red Sea, maybe. Let's go to James chapter 1. Are we? Don't know what I would do without Ken. He was dressing me this morning and everything. Tucking my tie in, making sure my shirt was in, fixing my collar. So in James chapter 1. So it says, wherefore, in verse 21, it says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. You think maybe Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to have a little bit of receptivity, a little bit of meekness when it came to God's word? I'm going to throw you in the furnace. You're going to the lion's den. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Receive it with meekness. It's able to save your souls. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 5. Did I say chapter 1? I mean chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 5. In the latter part of the verse it says, be clothed with humility. Be clothed with it. Clothe myself with humility. Receive with meekness. And for God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace. He giveth grace to the humble. If I want to receive this very present help in time of need, which is God, God's word, God's strength, I need to clothe myself with humility. Clothe myself. This is what I dress myself in when it comes to God's word, humility. I dress myself with this in order to receive the grace of God. And it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. My goodness. Humble yourselves. That he may exalt you in due time. Is God's hand mighty? It was mighty for them, wasn't it? It also is mighty for me, for you and me. That the same miracles, the wonders, the deliverance that he wrought for them, he also will deliver. He also will do for us. If we'll humble ourselves, if we'll receive with meekness the engrafted word, this is how they did it. This is how they did it. Moses had to receive from God when God said, get in the water. He could have stepped back and said, whoa, it's a lot of water out there, God. You know, look at this bunch of people behind me. It's receiving it, right? That's how we do it. That's how we develop the confidence in God, by just starting out one little step at a time, kind of like little babies, like Austin, right? He didn't start out running the 500-yard dash yet, has he? No, it's one little, you know, just moving along. God will work with us. He desires to work with us. You know, it says in that in Ephesians 3:12 that in Christ we have confidence with boldness. Just developing the things, the thought patterns from God's word in Christ, putting on the renewed mind. And you just start walking on it. Start walking on it. He'll do the same. You know, they crossed the Red Sea by believing. But first somebody had to receive the word from God that it was time to go across the Red Sea, right? You know, and that was the word that God gave. It's time to go. It's time to go. Am I willing to be humble under God's word? You know, am I still fighting and still wanting to do it my way instead of allowing this word of God to graciously move me on to a higher plane? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed Isn't that great? Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Not conformed, but transformed. How do I transform and not be conformed? By renewing my mind, by remaining under the mighty hand of God's word, by hearing what God's word is saying to me when I open this book, receiving it with meekness, not being conformed to the world, not being conformed to my own thoughts, not being conformed to anything that contradicts God's word, but being transformed by the renewing of my mind. Joey Lynn covered this last week, but I'd like to go over it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 5, casting down some imaginations. Oh, I like these imaginations. Can I just keep them? I like the imagination that I'm, getting thrown into the lion's den. No. Cast them down. Casting down sense knowledge reasonings. You cast them down. I cast them down, right? Oh, well, God, can't I just keep this one? Just this one. I promise I'll get rid of all the other ones. No, casting down sense knowledge reasonings. The things that I have elevated against the knowledge of God's word, the things that the world may elevate against the knowledge of God's word, and I bring into captivity. Oh, God, won't you please bring it to captivity for me, this thought. No, I bring it into captivity, right? I choose not to be conformed, but to be transformed. Right? I cast it down. I bring into captivity every thought. Captivity is a very strong word, something you put a lock on. It's not going anywhere after you bring it into captivity. And sense knowledge reasonings and bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. Isn't that fantastic? That God would ask us to do this. That we also can do it. In my mind, that's kind of like subduing kingdoms. it's like quenching the violence of fire. I don't know about you, but sometimes the thoughts can be very, very contradictory. It could be a major war going on, inside of this head and heart. But we can cast them down. We can do that. Daniel chose to stay put on God's word, After they coerced the king into signing the decree, the one thing that he had did, which he was faithful in doing, was acknowledging God. He went into his little room and prayed, instead of looking at what they were doing to really make him mad. We cast them down. That's something we can do. We bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12. These fantastic records. In verse 5 it says, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons." Chastening, and this whole aspect here is dealing with the teaching and the receiving of God's word, the discipline to hear God's word, to receive it with meekness. And that's how God deals with us as sons. It's a discipline. It's a reverence for God's word and the fear of the Lord that I will receive God's word, that I'll subjectively put myself under God's word. Sometimes it may seem a little grievous to get rid of the old and to put on the new, but there's profit to it. There's great profit to it. And the profit will be, we'll walk as these men who were much like me and you walked, relying on God, having strong confidence in God, having a refuge in God, we'll see that. It says in verse 9, furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he does it for our own profit, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness and unto them which are exercised thereby. Isn't that fantastic? That's what we have to look forward to. If we will remain under God's word, if we will receive the teaching of God's word, that at the moment it might seem grievous to put off the old man and to put on the new man. But the fruit is the peaceable, it's the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those that are exercised thereby. We exercise ourselves in building this reliance, this confidence, this refuge in God's word. It's not difficult. It's really not difficult. It's just the choice that we make thought by thought, day by day, casting down imaginations, casting them down. That's how easy it is. It's not very difficult. One moment I might have great success at it. The next moment I might be miserably defeated. But you know what? Even if I'm miserably defeated, God is still a very present help, isn't he, in time of trouble? So there's no need to get frustrated. We just keep working with ourselves, working in God's word to build these things from God's word in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts. And then we start walking on them. In James chapter 1, well, before we go to James, let's go to Isaiah chapter 66. I realize that these men and these women, that they were broken. That when they approached God and they approached God's word, there was no haughtiness, there was no arrogance, there was no self-reliance. There was, here I am, work with me, humble me, teach me, instruct me. In Isaiah 66 and verse 1, it says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where's the house that you're going to build for me? Where's the place of my rest? For all those things have mine hand made, and all those things have been mine, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. What man is God going to look? This man will I look, even to him that is poor, that's humble. To him that's humble, God says he'll look. He doesn't desire a house because man really can't build him a house. He can't desire a place of rest because man can't give God rest. But what God desires and what God wants is a man or a woman or a child that's humble. That's what he wants. That's what I realize in working through God's word and studying these men who obtained a good report, is that they were humble men. They were broken in the presence of God. There was nothing to them. My God and I walk through the meadows, Hugh. What have we done that would ever merit God taking the time to talk to us, to invite us into his presence, to say, in Christ you have boldness and access to enter me at any given time? There's nothing that I've done. There's nothing that I ever will do. I'm a broken man. I admit that. I admit it in God's presence, and I admit it in yours, that there's nothing good in me other than what God has put in me, and that's Christ, the hope of glory. I want God to look at me and work with me. I also would like for God to look at you and work with you. He's looking. Am I willing to open my heart, open my mind, to subjectively receive says, this poor man, and of a contrite spirit, and one that trembleth at my word. A humble man that's broken. A humble man that's broken. And a man or a woman or a child that still reverences God's word, that still trembles at God's word, that's still willing to put himself under God's mighty hand, and not to elevate my thinking, my thoughts, my sense, knowledge, reasonings, and imaginations above God's word, but is willing to be not conformed, but transformed. Let's go to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1 and verse 22. We read, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I would like to be blessed, wouldn't you? God says to be doers of the work. Daniel, Abel, Enoch, Isaac, Moses, they chose by the freedom of thy will to hear God's word, but also to do God's word. You know, God will work with us, you know, if we break ourselves in his presence, under his word, allow him to be our refuge, our confidence, allow him to be our present help in time of trouble. I'm not trying to help myself anymore. Unless it's at the direction of God's word. Unless it's at the fulfillment and the completeness of what he's given me in Christ. That's the only help that I have. That's the only help that you have. That's the only help that the world has. And God will graciously work with us. He'll strengthen us. He'll cause us to triumph. He'll make us victorious in every situation. Because he wants to. And I'd like to close in 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter 5... In verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. God desires that we be sober. One of the great ways to be sober is by adhering to what God's word has said, by casting down, by not being conformed, but being transformed, by looking at what God is saying to me in his word. And receiving his word with meekness, humbling myself under his mighty hand. Be sober. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, he's seeking whom he may devour. But God's seeking whom he can bless, whom he can exalt with his mighty hand. The king and his cohorts were seeking whom they could devour, who they could talk out of God's word. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Pharaoh wasn't necessarily after the purposes of God when he was chasing the children of Israel across the Red Sea, was he? But God was desiring to bless, to elevate his word, to elevate his people, to bless his people. And he still wants to do that for us today. To be sober. It's sober to think God's word. It's sober to live God's word. It is. It's also vigilant. In verse 9, it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished or experienced in your brethren that are in the world. You know, we experience the same afflictions because of the same devil that seeks to devour, just like he did then, right? He's the same devil. You know, it says that we resist him by remaining steadfast in the believing of God's word. That's how we resist him. It's not in my strength. It's in God's strength. It's in the fear of the Lord that I have strong confidence. It's in the fear of the Lord that I have a place of refuge. When the enemy's roaring and I fear him no more, it's in God. It's in his word. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, that's what he called us to, eternal glory. And you know what? That glory is not just for when we get to heaven. It's also for right now. When Israel crossed the Red Sea, I want to tell you who got glorified, and that was God Almighty. It says that they wrote a song talking about their praise and their worship and their admiration for God Almighty when he led them across that sea. God gets glorified right now when we remain steadfast in the faith and we walk and we see his deliverance. It says that Nebuchadnezzar praised God, that this mean man who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that he changed his word. And he wrote a decree that there was no other God other than the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God wants to be glorified right now. And he will be glorified if we walk on his word. And we do the things that he wants us to do by humbling ourselves, by breaking ourselves, and walking in his word. It says, after that you've suffered or endured a little while, make you perfect. Make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you. To whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all just how wonderful you are, Father. That even still today, you're so desiring to walk and talk with us. That you're willing to help us, Father. No matter where we're at, no matter where we desire to go, that your mighty hand, that the hand of your word is still our place of refuge, that you are a present help in time of need. That, Father, you've never turned your back on any of your people that chose to believe you, that chose to walk with you, and even today. You're not kidding us when you wrote those things in your word, that you would do the same for us today. I pray that you'll help each and every one of us to see how great you are, how magnificent your word is, and give us the courage, Father, to walk in the strength of it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.